passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternative solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. When a disaster-struck country really needs help, we're not that great at getting it to them. It's not through lack of desire, it's because the items that are needed have to be sourced, then transported, and it all takes time. However, Howard Sharman from Advance Aid suggests that stockpiling key items in key areas could solve this problem. So how are the big aid agencies responding to this idea?
The fact that it isn't done at the moment is not through any fault of theirs. The problem is they just don't have the funds in advance. So the thing that our main challenge at the moment is to raise the money so that we can, if you like, go shopping. Because the money is there after the event. If we can make the money available before the event, we can put all these things in motion. And they're very open to the idea. UN High Commissioner for Refugees is particularly stressing what they're calling sustainable procurement, which is a lot of it is about local buying. And the other aid agencies, the big agencies, are keen to do this, but they're not able to do it at the moment because they don't have the money in the right place at the right time.
And how likely is that to happen? Because, of course, we're all kind of more willing to give money when there is a big disaster. You know, the heartstrings go and you feel like, oh, yeah. So people need this right now. It is, I think, a much harder sell to say, well, give it to us in advance and hopefully it'll be put to good use.
Well, that's true. And actually, we're not going to be raising our money in individual donations. I think we're going to be raising our money in large chunks from people whom we can, like I'm sitting with you, face to face and telling you what we're doing, why we're doing it and why it's a good idea. And by raising fairly substantial sums of money, then I think we can go out and do something about this problem.
Do you think it's an opportunity perhaps for corporates to almost sponsor the tarpaulings and the stockpile in a way, and perhaps that's part of their CSR?
We're definitely talking to corporates about CSR donations, yes. I don't know how Cadbury's might feel about having its logo on a tarpaulin that's in a refugee camp. But definitely, I mean, Cadbury's is doing a lot of good in Ghana at the moment through its fair trade procurement of cocoa. That's terrific. And they will have a high profile in Ghana because of that. We do want to talk to companies who are active in Africa about CSR donations, definitely.
Overall, how much money do you think this could save? If the plan works as you hope and everything goes as planned, if, what kind of money and also what kind of impact on the environment do you think you can save?
The money side of things is slightly difficult to estimate. I mean, we think, or there's a study which suggests that about $12 billion a year is spent on emergencies around the world, and maybe about $7 billion of that in Africa. Some of that's on food, some of that's on non-food, and we operate at the non-food end. The Red Cross has recently set up an initiative in the Zambezi River Basin to do some pre-positioning and some of the local procurement that I'm talking about. They state that a dollar spent beforehand is the equivalent of $4 spent afterwards. Other estimates are that it's as high as 1 to 7 or 1 to 10. So every dollar or pound that we can get and spend should multiply, if you like, four times at least in terms of its effectiveness. Now, whether that means that a $7 billion spend in Africa can be brought down to $2 billion, I'm not sure. We haven't yet gone through the exercise to actually prove that. But it would appear that there's a lot of money that can be saved by getting, you know, the ducks in the right order rather than in the wrong order.
And from the environmental perspective?
If we're not hiring cargo planes and flying goods from the east to Africa, we'll be saving a fortune. In carbon, the report that the Cardiff Business School did for us suggested that a typical tarpaulin transportation was emitting from China, transported by air, something like 100 tonnes of carbon, whereas if it's made in East Africa and delivered locally, it's something like 1.5 tonnes of carbon. So 1.5 to 100. Not everything goes by air, but there are considerable savings just in the transportation and the logistics. The manufacturer is pretty much the same wherever you do it. It's in the transportation, you know, that you save serious quantities of emissions if you avoid air transport. And air transport also comes in when you're responding in a hurry. So if you can plan in advance, if you can pre-position, you're not in such a panic when things go wrong.
And of course, most importantly, what about the number of lives you think that could be saved?
I'm not really expert enough to predict or to analyse that. We're looking mainly, to be honest, in our work at what we can do for the living, at the people who've been made homeless. But I have to say that if stuff is closer, if stuff is nearer to where an emergency is happening, if it's available to be put into the field quicker, it will save lives. If not in the immediate hit of a hurricane or a flood, it'll save lives by helping people to survive longer, if you like, once they've undergone this particular emergency. So there will be lives saved by being closer. But I wouldn't care on air today to quantify what those would be. The financial side's easier, the lives is trickier.
That's Howard Sharman from Advance Aid.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionforfreshideas.com.
Passionforfreshideas.com.
Or click through from passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.